Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Glatter, a member of the Medscape Emergency Medicine Editorial Board, an attending physician in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Lenox Hill Hospital, part of Northwell Health. Today, we will be discussing the growing trend of geriatric emergency departments throughout the U.S. and the actual reasons behind it. According to recent estimates, up to 25% of patients seen in the emergency department are age 65 or greater. And by 2030, this percentage may well increase into the mid to upper 30% range, when at least one in five Americans will be age 65 and older. In 2012, the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai received an award from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to implement a new model of geriatric emergency care in three large urban hospitals, the Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York City, St. Joseph's Regional Medical Center in Paterson, New Jersey, and Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. The Geriatric Emergency Department Innovations Through Workforce Informatics and Structural Enhancements Project, otherwise known as GetiWise, received a $12.7 million grant for the project. At the beginning of 2014, the ECRI Institute, a nonprofit research organization dedicated to discovering the best in medical procedures, devices, drugs, and processes, estimated that there were 50 geriatric EDs in operation in the U.S., with another 150 in development. So, in order to handle the specialized needs of geriatric patients and their unique medical conditions, many academic centers and universities have embraced evidence-based data that provides support for building these unique facilities. An often referenced source is the Geriatric Emergency Department Guidelines. It is a result of 2 years of consensus-based collaboration among representatives from the Society for Academic Emergency Medicine, otherwise known as SAEM, the American College of Emergency Physicians, and the American Geriatric Society, along with the Emergency Nurses Associations. It is approved by the boards of directors of these four organizations. Joining us today to discuss this growing trend is Dr. Zia Aga, Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President of Clinical Research, Medical Informatics, and Telehealth, West Health San Diego. We'll be highlighting their new geriatric emergency department, the Gary and Mary West Senior Emergency Care Unit at UC San Diego Health, which is set to open in 2018. Welcome, Dr. Aga.
Thank you. Appreciate the time and appreciate the focus and emphasis on geriatric emergency care.
What aren't elderly patients currently getting at most emergency departments? What are they lacking in their care at this point in time?
Yeah, so I think the conversation here is around what is possible. As the population grows, what type of services are possible to be presented and provided through the ER? ER physicians are some of the best doctors in terms of making diagnosis, evaluating patients, and creating a care plan. And often they're the ones who are deciding on when patients need to be admitted or going back into the community.
Right.
We recognize that while that model of care is very useful and helps with the younger population, the 18, the 40s and 50s, when you think about seniors, it truly is a syndrome. It's a syndrome of needs. It's obviously important to make the right diagnosis of pneumonia and understand how to treat that. But often these seniors are going to have other comorbidities. They may have functional limitations. They may have social issues that need to be addressed. And because of the type of healthcare delivery system we have today, addressing all of those different needs from an ER physician's perspective is challenging. And so I think part of the work around geriatric emergency care is not only to improve the care that happens in the ED, but also to surround the ER staff with the resources that allow them to provide safe care outside of the ED facility, to sort of onboard patients onto a better trajectory so they can do better and not have a rebound. We know that one of the problems that ERs face is readmissions. When they look at the senior population, they have a higher readmission rate to the ER for the same condition or for a new condition.
When you have a geriatric ED, you need a full complement of additional people, including social workers, physical therapists, nurses specifically trained in geriatrics, as well as physicians that can come in and hopefully avoid some of these admissions. Where in the past, for example, the mantra had been, we can't figure out what's going on, we'll just admit you. Well, that's changing, obviously. Would you not agree?
Yes, I think that is changing. And you're right that it is a team-based approach because geriatrics is the ultimate sort of team environment. And you need all of these other supporting characters in the ER who are, of course, trained in the geriatric sort of care model, but are also then empowered by having resources that allow them to leverage things, whether it's in the hospital, getting physical therapy consults in the ER, but also outside in the community. We have a very innovative program of research with UC San Diego that's sort of leveraging off of some of the research on the hospital at home model. Mm-hmm. And what this model is trying to study is the ability of an ER physician and the team in the ER to identify certain patients who have what we call ambulatory sensitive diagnoses like UTI and pneumonia and cellulitis, start the care plan in the ED but transition them home with perhaps home help, and then provide some telemedicine services as a wraparound to give them the 72 hours of coverage and follow-up in the home and then transition care into their primary care doctor's office. Mm-hmm. Similar work has been done by Geisinger, and others are also testing these innovative models where you have another option beyond admitting somebody.
Sure. So are you incorporating telehealth as part of this model, either through video visits in order to really assess patients, or is it more just from a nurse providing home-based care or other therapists?
Yeah, so I'm using the word telehealth in its broadest sense, and that's appropriate how to use it. I think the most effective tool, if you talk to Dr. Ted Chan and Jim Killeen from UCSD, is their ability to have this Tiger text. It's a communication. It's like an instant messaging tool that allows the home nurses to connect with the ER physicians 24/7, and rather than sending faxes, which is the traditional way how home health would communicate with the doctors.
Right.
In addition to that, they are using phone calls and, when needed, simple web-based video conferencing. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, most of the time, it's the ability to have a quick sort of virtual rounding on the patient through this texting mechanism that allows them to stay sort of connected in the care paradigm.
Do you have any internal data already just from your ED that justifies the need to have this geriatric ED? In other words, looking at, say, a small portion of patients that you've studied over the age of 65, where you have used measures to reduce readmission rates that justify the need for building this ED?
I think there is some evidence that we are seeing, and we're looking at it from different perspectives. Some of it is through looking at large data. And I'll give you an example of a very simple analysis we did using Medicare data from 2012 and 2013, looking at falls. In the senior population, falls is a significant morbidity. You can imagine leading to hip fractures and then even nursing home admissions. In that year, there were 400,000 primary diagnoses for a fall, what's called a ground level fall, that was taken care of in the 65 and above population nationally through the ER. And of that population, guess how much got a physical therapy consult code, at least, on their CMS claim at discharge, and this is discharge from the ER. It was less than 4%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So immediately you identify that there is a need to sort of create either certain tools, certain decision support tools, or awareness within the ER setting that, hey, if somebody comes in with a ground level fall, consider them having seen by a physical therapist or a rehab specialist at some point later on.
Right.
The second thing we saw, and again, these aren't big numbers, but when we looked at the readmission within 60 days and 180 days for another fall, we found that those people who actually got the physical therapy consult had a lower risk for coming back with that problem versus those who did not have a consultation. It's a small peek at the data.
I think
it's missing a lot of critical points, so it's by far not a perfect study.
Right.
But it helps us identify certain areas. Similarly, at a smaller level, the work that we're doing here with our acute care at home program, we are showing that of the 50-odd patients that we have transitioned home safely from the ER and avoided a hospital admission, more than 90% of them have successfully been managed in the home without requiring, a revisit to the ER or a admission. So I think it is possible for a carefully selected group of patients to provide services to them outside of a hospital setting, and still provide the same level of outcomes that you would get by being in the hospital, and potentially even better outcomes in terms of satisfaction and other things.
Absolutely. I want to switch gears for a second. Mark Rosenberg, who's the chief of geriatric emergency medicine at St. Joseph's in Patterson, had made a statement in the past. I want you to comment on this, saying if the ED is designed for the most frail and vulnerable, it will work for the strongest patients as well. So arguing that, why don't we build all EDs to be geriatric friendly? In other words, make it the common denominator that this is our level of care. How would you respond to that?
I know Mark really well, and I think what Mark is trying to say is that on one hand, the types of principles that we should be taking care of our seniors with also are good care for everybody else. So the same example of the falls, I mean, I know seniors have more falls and have bigger problems, but there are people who have falls who are younger. And if we don't screen them for mobility issues and don't make the referrals, they're not going to get the benefits of that treatment.
Right, right.
The workaround, I'm going to point out some workaround, you know, medication reconciliation. There's a big emphasis in the geriatric literature and within the GED on med reconciliation. Because seniors are at risk for drug-drug interactions, drug-food interactions, and other adverse events. So some of the work around using Beers criteria and other screening tools to help identify those at-risk patients, and then having a pharmacy consultation to help either fine-tune their medication list or revise their medication list is good medical practice. Mm-hmm. I think that's good medical practice also if instituted for all other patients who have polypharmacy. They could benefit from it also. So I think there's lots of parallels between good care for a senior and good care for everybody else.
Exactly. So what do you say to hospital systems that don't have the funds to build such facilities, that aren't graced or blessed with the revenue to go forward? How would they design their ED? Any specific pointers that you can give?
I think that's a very good point. When we started our geriatric initiative, we were very aware of the fact that what we are building and what we are investing in is a learning opportunity. It's a learning laboratory where we can test certain principles, but with a goal that these principles should be able to extend and disseminate to all ERs in the country. And there's already work happening around the guidelines that you mentioned. That have been developed by ASEP and other organizations. And if you review the guidelines, within each category, whether it's around education and training, or it's around the staffing of a geriatric ER, or if it's around care protocols, and then also on data and evaluation, there are some really simple low-hanging fruit that we feel every ER in this country who's taking care of seniors can adopt. And will not require tremendous sort of infrastructure resources or changing the physical structure. You know, while environment is a important part, and a lot of the ERs that call themselves geriatric ERs have invested some time, energy, and resources into creating, you know, a more safe environment that's a little bit more patient-centered, less noisy, non-skid floors, those things are important. They are not the only thing that's going to improve the care of seniors.
Right.
So I think having some care protocols that identify those people at risk, so heavy emphasis on screening and triaging patients beyond their primary complaint. So using tools like the ISAR, which is a very simple patient checklist that can be done at the point of entry to identify patients who are at risk, and then that sort of triage mechanism for identifying those people at risk leads to further questioning. You know, somebody's at risk for falls, you can do a fall assessment on them.
Right.
Somebody is at risk for delirium, you can do a delirium assessment.
Right.
I think those types of sort of simple screening measures really can be implemented across the nation, mm-hmm. and will pay big dividends in terms of outcomes, which themselves will pay for those extra steps we're taking.
All right. I would argue that in this process of triage, before the physician sees the patient or a PA, that you'd already have a care team, whether it's case managers, social workers, already doing these types of surveys and analyses, so that by the time the care provider sees the patient, this has already been accomplished and we already sort of have a plan to go for.
Exactly. And that is what we are seeing at most of the geriatric EDs that we are working with, that it is not the physician's role or even the nurse practitioner who's sort of taking care of the patient. It's somebody even more proximal who is going to do the early screening.
Right.
And you can, if you have an electronic health record, you can create a screening tool set with some sort of simple logic and decision support built into it. So, we are also very aware that you don't want to overburden the system.
Right.
Crowding in the ER is a big problem. We certainly don't want to slow things down. But we also feel that if you identify certain issues early on, you can potentially save time So for instance, if you can identify somebody has a mobility issue when they're checking into your ER, you can start working on getting a wheelchair ordered for them and not have to spend like, okay, the patient is ready to go home, but guess what? He can't even walk.
Right.
So now we got to get some prosthetics or somebody else involved.
Exactly.
So there's a little bit of an investment on time, but I think it'll more than pay back in terms of how you coordinate the care and provide the right services.
And just to sort of wrap this up, have you looked at any length of stay issues within the ED itself when you do have a geriatric ED? In other words, does the time spent seem to be less in general?
So there was a recent study by Keyes et al. Which they looked at three outcomes. Length of stay was one of them. That was not affected. It was not better, but it wasn't significantly worse. They looked at primary hospitalizations, though that number was lower. So they had an impact on reducing the number of people who were admitted to the hospital. And then the third thing they looked was readmission or recidivism rates, and those were not affected. So I think there's some early data coming out, but we are very interested in studying these things at a deeper level. Already have started doing some ethnographic research to sort of do some observational studies to look at the flow, because I think length of stay is much more a outcome of the workflow and the flow of the patient through the ER than any one specific intervention.
Right.
And sort of understanding the workflow and then understanding how to optimize it is critical.
Great. Anything else to add to the discussion?
The call to action really for us is that, you know, we should be able to get good geriatric care to all seniors, no matter which sort of ER they're going to, and it's going to, like you pointed out, be perhaps at different levels. There may be some centers that are going to adopt some basic principles that will improve geriatric care, and there'll be the centers of excellence that are going to be doing, you know, innovative clinical trials and offering those types of services to their seniors. But I'm really excited about the future of this whole geriatric care movement within you know, ASAP and the physician community, but also at a broader perspective from the health system side, given our shift towards population health.
Right. Can you also fill us in on any specifics of your ED that you plan for in opening in 2018? Any sort of early tidbits of information of how the layout will be and so forth?
Yeah, so the Gary and Mary West Senior Emergency Care Unit is going to be located in La Jolla at the University of California, San Diego campus. It's a joint project with them. We have funded it through a capital grant, but we've also provided substantial funding to start to do education and training and also health services research and look at outcomes. It's going to be a physical build out of around 18 new beds that are going to provide a dedicated space in this ER. And this is a large ER with, you know, 40,000 plus emergency room visits currently, and their capacity is going higher and higher. So it'll definitely take off some of the pressures in terms of having more beds available. But what's more important, like I mentioned, is that we're going to also have specially trained nurses, and that work is already underway, specially trained and focused clinicians. We're going to bring together geriatric pharmacologists. We're going to bring together rehab specialists, geriatric doctors, to provide the full set of services, including social work, that the senior really requires. We're truly excited about this opportunity, not because of what we will do here, but also how the learnings will then be disseminated to other sites.
And you plan to have video-based conferencing and using taking advantage of all technology that exists right now to interface with providers at home as well as in the ED? Yeah.
Yes, that is definitely in the works. As I mentioned, we've already started one project where we're using video-based technology to connect with assisted living sites in San Diego, and I think, you know, we look at telehealth and video as a tool to an end. It's not about doing telehealth. It's about how do you provide the right care at the right time to patients.
Okay. Very good. I want to thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate your insight. And again, thank you for joining us today.